It's Marketplace Tech for Monday the 15th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. The winners of tonight's 58th Grammy Awards have already been revealed. That is, if you trust various apps that are hoovering up data, like a teenager hoovers up Ed Sheeran music. Instagram has made its predictions, with Taylor Swift sweeping. Another app doing this, Shazam, the service that helps you listen and identify music as it appears in the world around you. Let's start with a mashup of the Shazam-y winners from CEO Rich Riley.
We think Ed Sheeran, Thinking Out Loud, for Record of the Year and Pop Solo Performance.
Darling, I will be loving you.
Let's see, Best Rap Performance, we think Fetty Wap, Trap Queen.
See my Trap Queen, let her hit the bando. We be counting up.
We think our friend Cam and her amazing track Burning House is going to win Best Country Performance.
I've been sleepwalking.
And we think the best new artist is going to be Meghan Trainor.
So I'm gonna love you like I'm gonna lose you.
Okay, so how successful have you guys been at predicting the Grammy winners?
We've had some years where we've been very successful and some years where we've been, I would say, successful. It can be hard to predict as the way the Grammys voting and everything occurs.
There's a lot of movement happening in the music app space right now. I mean, there are reports that Pandora may be exploring a sale. There's been talk that SoundCloud is in financial trouble. How do you see Shazam moving forward in what is kind of a murky space for a lot of companies right now?
Well, for Shazam, we keep, one, making sure that we continue to be the best in the world at identifying music. And so I mentioned people Shazam over 20 million times a day. We make that better every day. We then want to extend that and make Shazamming something the start of a connection and not sort of the end. And so now when you Shazam a track, we have more content about that artist. And then you follow that artist. And so now when that artist Shazams something, we put that into your Shazam experience. And as the landscape around us changes, and as you mentioned, there's been a lot of change in the music space, we partner with everybody. So we partner with Apple and Google and Spotify and Deezer and Rhapsody and Pandora to really provide as seamless of experience as we can for our users. And so we really are kind of a Switzerland of music.
I want to learn a little bit about monetization from you guys. I know that in the past, some have said that the company is sort of intentionally not profitable. Is that still the case?
Our business model is primarily advertising. We also have a special thing we do, which is to Shazam enable assets on behalf of those brands. And so we Shazam enable things like commercials for Coke Zero, where you can Shazam the commercial and get a free Coke. A fun way for consumers to engage with brands and for brands to reach consumers on their mobile device.
And do you think doing that is going to give you enough money to continue to operate and grow going forward?
We do. We do. I mean, the mobile advertising market is very large and one of the fastest growing parts of the advertising space. That absolutely can be the revenue driver that continues to fuel Shazam's growth for the long term.
That was CEO Rich Riley joining us from Shazam offices in Manhattan. Last year, by the way, there was an estimated 1.7 million Shazams by devices during the event. This year, there will be a, quote, multi-sensory testament to the artistry of David Bowie from Lady Gaga. And the Gramophone Awards that the winners get, they will have GoPro cameras in them that will stream first-person footage from the winners. Hope some of those people keep theirs on for the after parties. When you think of robot body parts, what comes into your head? Arms? Legs? Leg-like stems with wheels on them? What about a mouth? What about a smart mouth? Not smart like lobbing insults at you, but smart like telling big food companies more about their products. Regardless of whether you should trust a robot's mouth, let alone its taste buds, you may soon be gnawing on the fruits of its labor, Marketplace's Annie Baxter reports.
30 years ago, some guys at the University of Minnesota's dentistry school built a robot that could chew up a storm.
It chews 4 times faster than the normal human.
Ralph DeLong was one of the inventors. He built the mechanical mouth to test dental restoration materials. The robot could put wear and tear on them a lot faster than humans could, and of course, cost a lot less to employ.
for a material that you want to test for 5 years. In 1 week, you have the result.
The latest version of the robot can give feedback on what it's chewing, which has prompted a few big food companies, who didn't want to be named, to do tests with it.
To start out, we would put whatever food we want on top of that.
The minders of the robot feed it some cereal, which the robot then chews with its six little teeth.
Go slow, fast.
That one cycle of chewing might not sound like much, but the dentistry school's Alex Falk says the audio frequencies, which they capture in a computer, are actually quite meaningful.
We believe that ultimately crispiness can be quantified by things like the frequency content coming out from those sounds, that's crispy sounds.
So food companies can use the robot to compare the crispiness of an already successful product with its healthier reformulation, which might have less sugar or less salt. Here's Ralph DeLong again.
Sugar doesn't just make a product sweet, and salt doesn't just make it salty. They also have chemical interactions with the other things that affect the texture of the food.
Food marketing expert John Stanton says the robotic mouth is just one example of how food companies are trying to make texture and taste more scientific.
And they're using not only physiological models, but they have more sophisticated statistical models.
But apparently, there's only some accounting for taste. Stanton says, unlike robots, people come with all sorts of messy biases about food, which companies still have to consider at some point in developing products. In St. Paul, Minnesota, I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.